I'm also aware that Precious is here, but Precious doesn't need to get mentioned every 2 weeks, okay? But it is good to see you, Precious. And I just love your name because you can never get away from the fact that you're Precious, okay? I just think that's great. So hallelujah. So where are we going today? Well, I just pray for all of us that we'll just open up our heart. Let's open up our heart and hear what God has to say. Amen. At the beginning of the year, on our first Sunday, on the 5th of January, I shared a little thing about the poster that's up the back where it says, "See God clearly in 2020. And that really is just something that God is just so impressing in my heart, that there's such a need for all of us, for you and me, to see God more clearly. You might think you're seeing him clearly, and that's fantastic, but you know what? There's more. And God wants you and me to have his more, whatever it is. He wants us to have his more, because there's always another depth and there's always another height. We need to know his wisdom and his understanding so that we can walk on a daily basis in the fullness of what he has provided for us. And the revelation of the truth of the word of God, that we will walk into that greater freedom that Sarah spoke about. Hallelujah. On the 5th, John asked us a question. He asked us, "What are you looking at?" And he was encouraging us to open the eyes of our faith, our heart, our mind, and our understanding, that our eyes would be fixed on the Lord. And one of the scriptures that he referred to was from the Passion Translation, and I've got a copy of it on my phone. It's Philippians 4 verse, well, I'm going to read 6 to 8. This is from the Passion Translation. And it says, "Don't be pulled in different directions or worried about a thing." Is that speaking to anybody? "Be saturated in prayer throughout each day." Are we being saturated in prayer? "Offering your faith-filled requests before God with overflowing gratitude." Have we all got that gratitude in our heart for his goodness, which is towards us every moment of every day? "Tell him every detail of your life." You're allowed to tell him that, because here's the truth, he already knows it. Yeah? Just we can fool ourselves, kid ourselves. "Well, nobody knows this. This is a secret that I only know." No, let me assure you, God already knows. So you can't have a secret from God. "Tell him every detail of your life. Then God's wonderful peace that transcends human understanding will make the answers known to you through Jesus Christ." Do you know that where we get the answers is through Jesus Christ? It's not you and me getting answers. It's us getting answers from Jesus Christ. "So keep your thoughts continually fixed on all that is authentic and real, honourable and admirable, beautiful and respectful, pure and holy, merciful and kind. And fasten your thoughts on every glorious work of God, praising him always." And if you remember, John shared a story about the harrier hawk that had fastened himself onto the prey, and there was no way that prey was going to escape. And that's the word that we, you and I, have to apply to when we're holding on to something that's in the word of God. We've got to fasten our thoughts and not be moved. Amen. We've got to be that raha. Amen. We've got to be that fixed, gazing, beholding, pondering, meditating. Because that's a good place to be. Amen. Hallelujah. Proverbs 16, verse 3. I've not asked Jacob to put all of these up on the board, so if you want to take a note of scripture, then there are quite a few scriptures that won't be up on the screen. But Proverbs 16, 3 says, commit to the Lord whatever you do, and your plans will succeed. You know, that's just such a simple instruction. So why do we find it so hard to do? Why do we find it so hard to commit all of our ways unto him, to allow our plans to succeed? Can I make a suggestion? We don't really commit it to God. We just try and do what we think is right. And that's when it doesn't work. You might have little achievements, but it's not going to do what it would do if you committed your ways unto God. Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14 read, enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. I believe that each one of you are one of the few that has found that way, because you've walked through the narrow gate. Jesus is our narrow gate. And because of Jesus, we've been placed on that road of life. So don't come off the road of life and go on to the broad road, because it leads to destruction. As believers, we enter through Jesus. But here's the question, and Sarah really kind of mentioned this as well. Are you experiencing that life on a daily basis? Is that the life that you're experiencing? Being on that narrow road, walking on that road to life. Are you experiencing life every moment of every day? Are you choosing life or are you choosing death? And it's so sad because sometimes we don't know when we're choosing death. We don't know because we're not committing our ways unto him. If we truly committed our ways unto him, he would lead us so far away from the road of destruction that we wouldn't know death. We would just know life in all its fullness. Then we had Cecil speak on the 12th of January, and he was encouraging us, also from Philippians 4:8, to identify with the good things of God. Amen. And really, I asked myself, why would I want to do anything but that? Why would I want to identify with anything that was not the good things of God? And yet in ourselves, we do. In our humanity, we do. In our flesh, we do. But we're not meant to. We're really not meant to. Cecil also encouraged us to humble our heart, to listen, and to establish our hearts to relate to God. To identify with his goodness and not with lack. And I'm sure all of you know Psalm 23 that says, the Lord is my shepherd. I lack no good thing. So why do we think we're in lack?
Amen. Good.
Why do we think we're in lack? If we're looking at the truth of the word of God, that says, the Lord is my shepherd. I lack no good thing. So the Lord says, whatever lack you think is in your life, if you're focusing on it, it'll lead you down the road to destruction.
That's right. Amen. That's right.
In him, you lack no
Amen.
Good thing.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
And for me, this is very simply put, and I have said this on numerous occasions and will continue to, because I find it simple and yet I find it so profound. That the heart of the matter is the matter of the heart. Where's your heart? Where is it? Keeping fixed on him and his goodness is essential to you and me living life to the full. Now let's look at Matthew 12, verse 35. These verses are really very challenging. Or I find them challenging. Matthew 12, verse 35 reads, "The good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart." That's all good, isn't it? Yeah? You like that? Uh-huh. The next part says, "The evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored in his heart." That's not so good. "For out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks." So, question, what are you speaking? What are you speaking? Are you speaking the good things? Because you've got good things in your heart. You lack no good thing, we've just heard. So where are the good things in your spirit? Our problem is we're not always in the spirit. Sometimes we're in ourselves. And that's where the evil things come. Evil's a very strong word. Think of the bad things. You know all those bad things that we can sometimes do on a daily basis and we don't want to do them? The things that Paul refers to, the things he doesn't want to do, he does. And the good things he wants to do, he doesn't. See, Paul had the same problem. His flesh. Himself. I have that same problem. Myself. And you have that same problem. Yourself. But that's not where we're meant to be. So are you speaking good or evil? Or are you speaking life or death? Verse 36 says, "But I tell you that men will have to give account on the day of judgment for every careless word they have spoken." And in brackets, I've written down very sobering and very challenging. Not just sobering and challenging, but very sobering and very challenging. You and I are going to have to give account one day for every word that has come out of our mouth. Oh, that hurts somebody like a ton of bricks. But the thing is, it should hit us like a ton of bricks. Because we should no longer want to be there. That's not where we're meant to live. Verse 37 says, "For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned." And I want to emphasize here that it's not God that's going to condemn you. We condemn ourselves with our words. We condemn ourselves with our words. Well, let's purpose in our heart that we're going to acquit ourselves with our words. Let's just speak of the good things that come out of the good that's stored up in our good heart, which is our spirit. So what are you speaking over yourself? Never mind speaking over other people. What are you speaking over yourself? Are you speaking life? Are you speaking life? Are you speaking the good things of God? Everything that you say has got creative power. So it's either going to be for good or it's going to be for evil. That's the challenge. That's a challenge. But here's another challenge. It's not just what we speak, but it's what we think. It's what we think. Because if we're thinking these things, our thoughts come from our heart. Out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. So for every word that's coming out because it's in our heart. Wow. This is good stuff. Amen. I promise you, this is good stuff. You might be sitting there thinking, oh my goodness. But do you know what? Rejoice, because God's revealing himself, saying, I don't want you there. I want you to move. Amen. Why are you still there? Yep. You know better than that. We need to speak careful words, not careless words. So how do we establish our heart, as Cecil was talking about? Well, I'm going to look now at Ephesians chapter 2. No, I'm going to look at Ephesians chapter 3. Jacob had a sigh of relief there. And I'm going to read verses 14 through to 21. Hallelujah. This is a prayer for the Ephesians church from Paul. Okay? So verse 14 says, for this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. That includes you. You're in God's family. So that includes you. Okay? Everybody in agreement with that? I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the saints, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Wow, what a beautiful prayer. And it's not over yet. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work in us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. When I read that portion of scripture, the Lord says, Susan, it's great that you're reading it. He's blessed that I'm reading the scripture. But he's more blessed when we personalise it, when we take it for ourselves. So can I encourage all of you, in your own time, look at that prayer and make it personal. Make it for you, not for the person that you think would benefit from it. Because do you know what? You'll benefit from it. So make it personal. Colossians 2, verses 6 and 7 reads, so then, just as you received Jesus Christ as Lord, continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. Thankfulness will keep your heart on him. It will keep your eyes on him. You'll be gazing on him. You'll be meditating on him. That Raha word that I believe is a really important word for this church this year. That we see God more clearly as we fix our gaze on him. When your heart is fixed, when it's rooted and when it's established in the living word, which is Jesus. Yes, Jesus is the living word. Amen. And the written word is the Bible. Then you will be safe, secure, steadfast, immovable, and unshakable. Anybody want to be these things? Well, that's what you can have. That's available to you and me. And it's his desire that you and me walk in a greater revelation of that. Do you know what? You chuff God, if God can be chuffed. I don't know if he can be chuffed, but do you know what? I can just picture God saying, Rocco, you're my boy. You're doing good, Rocco. You're delighting my heart as you delight in my word. Paul, the words that come forth from you, God has gifted you with words of life to bring healing, deliverance, and restoration to many people. He's blessed by you. And honestly, I could go around everybody in this room and give you all a word. But you might not want me to do that, you know, because time's going on. You know, you might think, come on, Susan.
Well, maybe for
the but it is honestly true that if we're focusing only on him and leaving all of that other junk behind, how much freer will we be? We will know that freedom. We will know that Christ has set us free and that we are free indeed. We will know that. We will be assured of that. And nothing can take it away from you if you're assured of it. If you're fully persuaded, you won't be dissuaded from the truth that you know. You will not be dissuaded. Hallelujah. We need to be fixed, rooted, and established in him. Because he is our anchor when the storms come. And if you're single-minded rather than double-minded, which you can read in Hebrews 6, that's not the right scripture there, is it? It's James. God wants you and me to be single-minded. We should only be thinking on the good things. We should only be thinking on the godly things. We should only be thinking on the kingdom things. And then everything else will take care of itself. So for me, the greatest challenge on a daily basis is to guard our heart. To guard our heart. I want to stay in the road of life. I don't want to have times where I'm veering off onto that broader road that leads to destruction. Why would I want to travel on that road? But my choices will determine where I am. And your choices will determine where you are. That's why it's so important to be firmly established and rooted in the Word. And when we look at Colossians 3, we read there in verses 1 and 2, since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, the things of the kingdom, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Verse 2 says, set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. So are you living holy? Don't answer. Ponder. Meditate. You ask God. You speak to him about these things. I'm speaking to me about me. Are we walking on that road of life, being led by the Holy Spirit, knowing the encouragement and God's goodness every moment of every day? That's where he wants us to be. 2 Thessalonians 2 verse 16 says, may the Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and by his grace gave us eternal encouragement and good hope. Eternal encouragement and good hope. So if there's ever a time where you're needing encouragement, God says, get in my word and you'll know that eternal encouragement. We need to encourage our own hearts so that we can encourage other people. We need to be strengthened in our own hearts so that we can strengthen others. If I'm weak and useless and helpless and whatever, I'm no use to anybody. I'm no use to anyone. But that's not who I am. Amen. That is not who I am. We've sung it today. Do you believe it? Is your heart fixed on it? Where your heart is fixed, that's where you'll remain. So if you're fixed on God, you'll remain on all of the godly things. Nothing else will take your attention. Don't let your hearts be troubled. And do not be afraid. So what are you treasuring? Matthew 6:20 says, "But store up for yourself treasures in where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Such a simple statement and yet so profound. So what are you treasuring? Are you treasuring the good things of God? Or are you treasuring all the rubbish of life? Because if that's what your treasure is, then that's where your heart is. And out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. You can't expect different results if you're not prepared to change, if you're not prepared to move. You know, we can sing songs like, "Change my heart, O Lord, make it ever true." God says, "I've already changed your heart. Amen. I've already given you a new heart." It's the heart of the Spirit to hear the things of God. God cannot change our hearts if we don't surrender our hearts to Him. It doesn't matter how hard you try, you're going to fail if you don't surrender it to God. It's only God can do this. This is a spiritual thing, and only God can do it, the power of His Spirit. Everything I do is already determined in my heart. I either do it God's way or I do it my way. And if I do it my way, then I open up the door for the moth and for the treasure to be rusted. I'll give the enemy a freedom to come in and take whatever he wants. But that's not the life that Jesus has got for us. John 10:10 says, "I have come that you may have life and have it in its fullness." Amen. Do you want the fullness of God? Well, run after it. Seek after it. Find it. And when you find it, fasten onto it and don't let it go. Very well-known portion of Scripture, Proverbs 4, verses 23 to 27. "Above all else, above everything else, guard your heart, for it's the wellspring of life. Put away adversity from your mouth. Keep corrupt talk far from your lips. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Make level paths for your feet and take only ways that are firm. Do not swerve to the right or the left. Keep your foot from evil." These are the things that we have to do. These are the things we have to act on. Because no matter how much we want that, if we don't do the acting on, it ain't going to happen.
That's right. Amen.
Sorry. Sorry. So what treasures are you seeking for? Are you seeking for the kingdom treasures? Because that's where the life is. That's where the goodness is. That's where the peace is. That's where the joy is. Where the patience is. All of the fruits of the Spirit. That's where we'll find them. We won't find them in our flesh. We need to remember that the Word is the seed, and our heart is the soil. So what are we growing in our heart? What seed are we planting in our heart? Are we planting the seed of the Word, where all of these good things will grow? Or are we planting seeds of worry anxiety, care, stress, rejection, frustration, and that list can go on and on and on and on and on. We could probably go around everybody three times and we would still get a different word. But as we become fixed, rooted and established in the word, then the seed sown will germinate and it will produce God's desired fruit in our lives. So may our hearts be continually fixed on him and on him alone, so that we sow only from his goodness. Because if we're sowing goodness, what are we going to reap? More goodness. See, it's quite easy, isn't it? You sow frustration, what are you going to reap? More frustration. Well, who wants that? What you sow is what you grow. And one of my favourite scriptures that goes back, I came across it in 1986 or something, is Psalm 19, verse 14. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. So, closing. Ephesians 5 tells us to be imitators of God. That's a big challenge, isn't it? Why do we think it's a big challenge? Because we know in ourselves that we cannot do it. But what about being able to do all things through Christ who strengthens us? Yes. You see, you're thinking on the good things. You're not thinking on, oh, this is a nightmare. I'm never going to get there, Lord. Yes, you will, if you get fixed, rooted and established on the word of God. Yes, you will, because you will be who he says you are. Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love. Live as children of light. That's what we are. We're not children of darkness anymore. Amen. We've been redeemed from the darkness. We're children of light now. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And then verse 10 says, and find out what pleases the Lord. That's interesting. Well, how are we going to find that out? By looking at the word of God. You and I will change to the degree that our hearts want to. Ouch. To the degree that we surrender them to him. That's how much they'll change. So can I suggest, because it's your choice, but can I suggest that in 2020, we purpose in our heart to seek the eternal treasures of the kingdom on a daily basis, so that we will know and see him more clearly, allowing his spirit to lead and guide us in the fullness of his ways, that our hearts will fully and truly reflect him. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.